If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You out there, you've made it to Friday. Congratulations. And welcome to the best weekend of the year in Dusty Likens' world.
I don't know, man. The NFL draft is coming up.
It is coming up, but it's not on the weekend. That's a Thursday, Friday type deal. The weekend, nobody, except Binkley. You know, he'll be watching.
Well, it's on Saturday, and I'm sure they'll have smashing ratings on Saturday.
Yeah. Probably 5 million people will probably, I'm going to guess right now, I think 5 million people will watch the Saturday coverage of the draft. I wonder if they'll tell us what the numbers are.
Oh, I think it'll be higher than that.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. I think Saturday is one of those days where it dissipates a little bit. Like, people are in on Thursday from like 7 to 8:30.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Locked in.
And then after about, you know, you don't recognize the first name. Who's you're like, dang, give me Golden Girls or something else that's going on right now. But I think that's kind of where people are on that one. But I think people are excited for Thursday. And then, you know, as the weekend comes, you got weekend plans and other things are going on. And, you know, just kind of, you know, I'll see who they pick later on. And if you catch it, you catch it. If you don't, you don't, right?
Because that's what, April 26th would be that Saturday?
Yes. 24 is Thursday. Yeah, right. Yep.
Yeah. No, I love this weekend. We got blessed with great weather. It's like the toughest thing to do is not to answer your phone to say, do you want to come play golf? No.
No, not this weekend. Yeah. You don't. I want to watch the golf, right?
Yeah.
I want to watch a man pee in a creek.
Well, you could. Awesome.
I want to watch Fred Couples dominate yesterday. How about Freddie Couples, baby?
Just so great.
71 years old, one under par. He shot better than Tiger yesterday. Who would have thought?
Okay, we're not doing this. Come on now.
And then Jack, you know, ripping takes on
Phil Mickelson. Well, I guess he's still playing good. I don't know. Is he playing good? Yeah. Haven't seen him in a while.
I love it. That is fantastic.
No, yes, it was great. Freddie Couples, like I tweeted this out last night. Freddie Couples won the day, like hold out twice, and then he went to the side of the crowd, put up the number two, and then the motion of dunking him.
That's great.
And then he's just like your typical old man, like hitting the 7-wood. Which, I mean, I know that's a club for a lot of people, but plays old man golf, has probably one of the most smooth, fluid, easy swings. And then, of course, hits the neon yellow ball, which is just fantastic to
me. Which is great because, I mean, you're right, it is. It's so old man, but it's so relatable and it's so nostalgic, Dusty. And I think that's really what gets people when it comes to sports ultimately at the end of the day is that nostalgia. And you see a guy like Freddie Couples out there who's 71 years old. It's like when, you know, Tom Watson a couple of years ago in the British Open was doing his thing and everybody's rooting for
Watson,
Tommy, right?
Yes!
Everybody wants Tom Watson to win. Everybody's rooting for that nostalgia. I bet everybody's rooting for Freddie Couples now this weekend. Like seeing a 71-year-old go out there and, you know, do something that most 71-year-olds don't do. And, you know,
he'll go out there and shoot a 76.
And that's the thing, right? Like we all know it's coming to an end, but for one day, it's
maybe
like.
Maybe not. But more than likely, yes.
Yeah.
Like he's going to go out. But he gave us a day.
He did give us a day. He hasn't won it since, what, 92, I think, Freddie Couples. And so that's a long, long time. And you'd love to see that drought in. But we know it's not going to happen. But still, it's fun to have that kind of guy, you know, have a nice day yesterday where you're like, damn, all right, man, some of the nostalgia came back, like Hosmer coming back or something like that. Yeah, Moose and all those guys. You like that stuff.
Is it better day one than McElroy, Morikawa, Justin Thomas, Spieth, Scheffley, Koepka, Hovland? I mean, a lot of guys.
Yeah. A lot of guys. I like Adam Scheffley, too.
Yeah.
Which one did I butcher there?
Scheffler?
Scheffler.
Or Xander Schauffele?
Yeah, Schauffele.
Schauffele.
Schauffele. We had a guy who couldn't pronounce Schlafly beer years ago, and it was a Schauffele.
No, your leaderboard brought to you by Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views. Justin Rose had a day yesterday, shot 7-under. Ludvig Åberg, 4-under. Corey Connors at 4-under. And then, of course, Scotty Scheffler at 4-under, tied for second as well. Bryson DeChambeau, I think that's who we get behind now. Because the message that we saw yesterday is no one outside of the top 10 after day one has ever won the Masters. And Rory, like that one guy who peed in Rays Creek.
Wait, say that again. Nobody outside the top 10 on day one has ever won the Masters?
Yeah. So somebody in the top 10 is winning the Masters, according to history.
Wow, that's crazy.
So we'll see what happens.
So round one really does matter. You know, a lot of people will say it's just the first day and you kind of get in your feel and then, you know, people make their push and, you know, on the weekend or something. That's an amazing stat, Dusty. I had no idea. That's wild, man.
It's just, I don't know. It's such an intense tournament. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, day one is important because it, now everybody, you know, before the tournament started, you know, was focused on Rory and was kind of, you know, kind of seeing like, okay, what's he going to do? And then he absolutely just chokes it away the final, you know, four holes of the tournament, hits two double bogeys.
Yeah.
Just got
good to see the Florida Miami coach playing for the Masters. Yeah.
Yeah. Batia, baby. That guy's like 100 pounds soaking wet.
Look at that guy. He looks like McDonald.
So maybe not all time, but it says if recent history holds, according to Four Play Podcast on Barstool, if recent history holds, one of these men will be the 2025 Masters champion who you're riding with, and it's the top 10 players after day one.
Mm.
So if recency holds, so like 25, 30 years, whatever.
Whatever, but yeah.
In the last two to almost three decades, if it is, nobody outside the top 10 after day one has won the tournament.
Wow.
Rory is now outside of that after hitting two double bogeys in his final four holes, just a collapse with the chipping, went into the water and then chipped past the hole. I mean, it's just a tough thing for Rory, but, you know, the Masters is great because here we are in the first 6 minutes of the show, and there's seven different angles you could approach on this Masters.
And we didn't even talk about Ken Griffey Jr. being on the course
so awesome.
Right? Like, that's cool.
Legend.
Not even allowed to wear a backwards hat at Augusta.
Well, you can wear an upside-down hat, though, at Augusta, right?
We didn't get to talk about how Frankie Fleetwood, who's Tommy Fleetwood's kid, who has the same energy as every golfer.
Well, I've been doing my hardest to get it over the green. I've been practicing as hard as I can. Just not reaching it this year, but I'm just trying my hardest.
Just trying my hardest.
The hell is that, a baby?
No, he's like 7 or 6 years old.
That's awesome.
That's great.
And then
so Fleetwood Max kid?
Yeah, Tommy Fleetwood.
Yeah.
And then Gary Player, you know.
Did he take his clothes off yesterday?
No, but I want you to be serious for a minute because you're going to love this audio.
All right.
Because Gary Player was interviewed and he was asked about when Tiger Woods won what he ate. And Gary Player goes from like talking about that to just absolutely blowing you away with words of wisdom.
In 1997, when Tiger Woods won the Masters, he revealed that he famously ate at Arby's every single night. I was wondering when the last time you had any fast food was.
Well, you don't reach 90 as I do if you eat a bunch of crap, I can tell you that.
He's right.
But that's your choice. You know, everybody has a choice. I want to live to 100. Because I love people, I love golf, I just love life. I've got a young girlfriend who changed my life. What? How about that at 90, finding a girlfriend? Tom's not as old as me, but he's also found a new one. And it's and I'll tell you what, guys, you all, what if you or your wife are gonna die? What if you're gonna die? One of the spouses is gonna die? And it's not the end of life. And so many people, that does happen, and they get so disheartened that they don't think they should continue life. The greatest gift bestowed upon a man or woman is life. And so my ambition is to reach 100. So I went to India and I met a gerontologist, and he gave me 11 things to work on, which I adhere to. And so I might drop dead tomorrow, but I'm giving it a hell of a try.
I love that, man. That's awesome, you, man. Right? How great is that?
Where the hairs go.
Yeah. When was the last time you had Arby's? Let me tell you about this. I'm 90 and I got a young girlfriend. Okay. That's nothing about Arby's, but go on, sir. Please continue on. But no, I love that. You know, he went to India and got 11 different things. Did he go through that list of things that he wants? But he's 90, first of all. I didn't realize he was 90.
Yeah, dude.
He looks better than most people in their 20s, right? Yeah. And he's 90? I mean, my God. Good for Gary Player, man. Go out there and keep on keeping on. I hope he does live to 100. That's what I'm rooting for in golf right now. Gary that guy needs to continue to live, man.
Yeah, and you go from that to...
Well, I've been doing my hardest to get it over the green. I've been practicing as hard as I can. Mm-hmm. Just not reaching it this year, but I'm just trying my hardest.
You're just trying your hardest.
Yeah, my hardest.
And then you go from Gary Player, who absolutely makes you melt in your driver's seat, to Frankie Fleetwood, who absolutely makes you smile from ear to ear, to just a bro.
Well, I completely forgot that we had those restrooms on the left of the tee box.
On the 13th tee.
Yes, yeah. Correct. And then I'm like, I really need to pee. Didn't really know where to go. And since JT had an issue around the green, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to sneak here in the river. Probably the people would not see me that much. And then they clap for me. Probably one of the clubs that I really got today, like really loud. So that was kind of funny.
Were you concerned that there might be any blowback from that at all? Or, I mean, obviously they did see you, right?
Yeah, they saw me. They saw me.
Oh, yeah, they saw
me. I mean, it was not embarrassing at all for me. So yeah, if I had to do it again, I would do it again.
Love it.
So that's the amateur of Arizona State that ripped a piss in Ray's Creek.
Yeah, awesome. The best. Who hasn't peed on a golf course before?
I mean,
seriously, who has not peed on a golf course before? And you're lying if you say you haven't. Everybody has, right?
No, yeah. The best golfer always takes a piss on hole two.
Oh, is that what it is? I thought it was the horse before the race or something.
That's in horse racing. Yeah, I mean, mixed emotions, I guess. I mean, I understand, like, because I went down a rabbit hole yesterday of just, like, the comments that this guy got. Like,
oh, yeah, I'm sure,
you know, like, 20% of them are like, who cares? You got to go and you got to go.
Right.
Another 20% are like, this guy clearly just, like, forgot where he was at, which I think that's a little bit, but it's kind of funny how he throws some shade towards JT. Like, JT was having some issues on the green, so I figured I had some time.
Yeah.
I had to go. The other part of it was, you know, a lot of people are like, does this guy realize this is Augusta National? Does this guy realize this is a, you know, there's people, right? Like when you pee on a golf course at Hoots Hollow, where there's houses around you, you still go into like the wooded area where like no one can really see.
Right.
This guy, no F's given apparently. Right. And then I've had to do it again. I probably would.
Yeah, I don't play. Hey, you got to go. You got to go. I mean, you've been in the parking lot at Arrowhead and you got to pee and you see that line as long. So you open the door of the bus and pee behind that Mac, right? I've seen you do that many a times out there. So people pee, they got to pee. I mean, you know, people are like, oh my God, it's some creek at Augusta. So what? Don't become baseball where people are mad about the pitch clock and all that stuff and the sanctity of the game. Like, I got to be honest with you. Golf needs to loosen up a little bit. Like, that guy's better for golf than anything else that's going on because he's bringing attention, bringing the common man in. Going, oh, that dude's got the upside down hat. He went to Arizona State. He's peeing in a creek. Let's go. I'll root for that guy. Let's do this thing, man. Yeah,
Jose Luis Ballester.
Yeah, Jose Luis Ballester, man.
Ballester, I guess.
Ballester?
Ballester.
All right. Let's see how far he can go. And he's an amateur, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's a young guy. He's never been there before, obviously. It's awesome. I love this guy.
They're going to absolutely S the bed if he's the low amateur of the round.
Oh, yeah.
And he's sitting next to whoever went in the jacket. Yes. Like, the worst thing I think the Masters would see from, like, the old heads would be Bryson Winnett and that kid sitting next to him getting the low amateur round.
Yeah.
So a guy that peed and a YouTube sensation over the last couple of years, but also a multiple major winning guy who I'm now rooting for, because if we go through the theory, Rory's done.
He's out. Yeah.
Bryson's the guy.
Yeah. So
get behind Bryson.
I just hope there doesn't become like repercussions for this guy. Like all of a sudden, like Augusta's trying to file like, you know, indecency things and stuff like that because he peed in a creek out there. Some Southern woman is all mad about her children or something and some kind of horror of this and all that kind of nonsense.
Charles, so, there's a snake over there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not a snake. That's Ballester.
Yeah. And I love the fact he goes, I wasn't embarrassed. I'm like, I love
Hell
this
no,
guy.
Dude.
Like, were you embarrassed? No! I'm in my 20s and I'm a golfer. You think I'm embarrassed? Hell no.
I go to Arizona State.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
what's your talent?
Yeah. I'm pretty happy with who I am.
Somebody embarrassed to baseball yesterday, but it wasn't for a home run. Yeah, that was a single that went 120.9 miles per hour. It was the 12th hardest hit ball in the Statcast era, and it was to Jack Caglione. We talk about him, plus we talk about what is important for the Royals now that we move forward. It's time to put the big boy pants on. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Vinny Pasquantino, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
The payoff pitch. India rips it down the left field line. That drops in fair, a base hit. India ties the game with a single. Vermeens in to score from third. Waters goes to third. And Jonathan India claps his hands and yells into the Royals' first base dugout. A game-tying hit, and we're locked at two in the bottom of the seventh.
Flowers where flowers are given. Bob said when he went to Arizona, guys are going to love this man, Jonathan India. I think they won the trade.
Okay, so you say that. Yeah. I got a buddy, and I'm not going to mention Josh's name on the air, but he is like, I'm still not sold on India. I'm like, what more do you need, Kling?
First and last.
Oh, that's right. I said I wasn't going to say the name of Josh Klingler on the air, but I will. I'll throw him under the bus on this one because that's fair. But because he had a tweet yesterday about it too. I don't know if you saw Kling's tweet yesterday about it was actually really funny, and I want to read it word for word because it didn't get the run that it probably should have. But it said there are some TV shows that quote people say I should be into, but I've tried and it just hasn't clicked. Severance, The Last of Us. And whenever the Royals hitters 1 and 5 through 9 are up.
Tough.
That's a good tweet.
That's a great tweet,
That's
right?
A great tweet.
It is an amazing tweet. And I was like, okay, this is really good. This is really, 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 really funny. I'm like, but why are you including India into this? Because I know his batting average looked at 210, I think, at some point yesterday. But the dude, first of all, wears his pants the right way, okay? Ooh. With the socks, he looks the part. He's got the long flowing locks. He's that leadoff guy that we've needed in this lineup. He came through yesterday. He played every position for you already this season. Like, I love the guy. And so he proved himself to me even before spring training. I was excited about that move.
Yeah, he had the, what was it, 10-pitch at bat yesterday that set him up for success. Yeah. Royals won yesterday against the Twins. They take 3 of 4. So well done to the hometown boys in blue. We said 3 out of 4 be house money. So you walk away from the blackjack table successful.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, that's very rare.
But yeah, now you're in the high stakes room of the casino.
Mm-hmm.
Now you get 3 against Cleveland. You get 3 against them boys from the Bronx. And you get 4 against Detroit. And this is it. This is where it begins. This is where, you know, you look at Cleveland, won the division last year. You look at the Yankees, won the division, knocked you out of the playoffs last year and started a whole bunch of stuff at second base.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Michael Garcia is one of the strongest men in the world because I don't know if I'd have been able to just like walk away from that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have got my ass kicked, but I that's tough, right? And then you go play 4 against big bad Detroit where there's possibly the, I don't have to look at Scooble's days, but Reagan should pitch that Friday night game. Because I believe Reagan's will pitch Sunday this week, because you'll get Bubich tonight, Lorenzen on Saturday, and Reagan's on Friday or Sunday. Then you would play 3 against New York, and then I think Reagan's would be up either that Saturday or Sunday against Detroit.
Okay.
And hopefully we can get a Reagan's and Scooble. So there's a lot of different angles and storylines you can get into this series, but you beat Baltimore, who I still believe is one of the best teams in baseball. Are they the Yankees yet? Probably not. But the Yankees did a lot to you last year. They kicked you out of the playoffs. You watch them celebrate on your field. There's passion there. Detroit, one of the hottest teams, probably going to battle it out between Detroit, Kansas City, and Cleveland when the season comes down to it. Minnesota has shown you that they have regressed. We don't need to talk about the Chicago White Sox. And then there's Cleveland. And this is where it gets a little challenging for me because I don't think the Royals are considered a laughingstock. I don't think that they're considered like a team that doesn't belong. I think they're a team that, as we always say, is on the come when it comes to the respect value of other teams in the American League. Again, Bobby Witt Jr. being the five-tool Swiss Army knife that he is, everybody knows where Bobby Witt Jr. plays baseball and who he's affiliated with. It's the Kansas City Royals. We know that. But Cleveland, the last time they played you, hit Jonathan India in the effing face, was Vinny Pasquantino's quote. In my opinion, to set the tone to this road trip where you are facing the big bad and the ugly, right? You've got to set the tone. You've got to be the one that sets the table. And again, I want to make this very, very clear. I'm not asking for Chris Bubich to put one in the ear hole of a Cleveland Guardians player. But I am asking him that when Jose Ramirez comes up hitting number two, to put one in his rib cage, or to put one that's a little bit of a heater in his back pocket. You can't keep getting pushed around and not do something. Vinny Pasquantino's words and the way he was passionate in the postgame of that game leads you to believe that this team feels that way too. Listening to Vern's postgame show yesterday, driving home from the store, and Vern saying, I've been thinking about this game for a couple of weeks now. What are they going to do? Who's going to be the guy? Is it going to be Hunter Harvey that comes in the sixth and does it? Because you, in my opinion, you can't do this if you're down. Like if it's 4-0 in the seventh inning and all of a sudden Stephen Kwan comes up and you plunk him in the ribcage, it doesn't have the same effect. If you're Chris Bubich and you go out there and set the tone, batter number two, Jose Ramirez, hey, guess what? We're here. We remember, and we're ready to kick your ass. That's what I want to see in the first series. We can get later on into New York, into Detroit. But with Cleveland, set the tone. Let people know that you're here. Let them know that you're here, that maybe Class A didn't mean to throw it to his face. Did it twice, threw a pitch he doesn't throw ever, and hit Jonathan India when the Royals didn't have a chance to retaliate. Now you have your opportunity, and I understand some umpires have a quick trigger, might throw Bubich out in the first inning. Dusty, now we got to go to a bullpen game, and you're forfeiting a game, and you're talking about series that you need to win because these are the big bad boys. Sometimes morale and proving it is a little bit more than just a win in April.
Well, we'll see how they approach this. I think going out there and winning the game and winning the series is ultimately your goal. And if you're going to get this stuff in the way of that, I don't necessarily favor all of that. We'll see how they approach it. Like sometimes there's also the art of not doing something and making these guys think for 3 days they are going to get hit. I was watching a video this morning of Pete Rose explaining how to hit in baseball to somebody on Good Morning America back in the 80s. And the first thing he said, he goes, if you go up there and you're afraid that you're going to get hit, you're going to fail. So I think there's something to that. I think you let that seed be planted maybe all weekend long. They think somebody's going to get hit. Everybody that goes to the plate that doesn't get hit, the next guy's going to be thinking about it. The next guy's going to be thinking about it. Like, the mind game is important here in this one, especially with a team against Cleveland. Maybe you hit them in July when you play them again, when they're not expecting it, right? Because they're kind of expecting it right now. So maybe you just let them think about it and think about it and think about it. And then every person goes to the plate and goes, oh my God, are they going to hit somebody? Are we going to get this thing going? And now you're playing a mental game with them. And baseball is such a mental game to be played. You've got to find a way to get that advantage because there's 162 of these things, right? Sometimes you win on the field, sometimes you don't. But sometimes you win that mental side of things. And, you know, we used to talk about it with the Chiefs all the time and still probably do. They're beating teams on Monday and Tuesday of that week. They're not winning games on Sunday. They're winning games on Monday and Tuesday. They're also winning games in the preseason when they're putting stuff on tape that they're never going to use, but then you have to prepare for. And you have people thinking and scheming and planning and doing and wasting their time thinking about things that just probably may not happen over the course of a game. And so there is something to be said for that as well, where you get these guys thinking that you're going to hit them, and ultimately you don't, but they're timid in the plate. They're backing away. They're thinking about it, and it's one more thing that they have to process. You hit somebody right away, that lack of communication or that you know way of going out there and winning a game is over. You've taken that away. You've taken that part of the mind game away from Cleveland. I'd like to toy with them. I'd like to F with them a little bit and see how they approach things and see what they do and keep them waiting. And then when they least expect it, earhole somebody, you know, on that team. But I think the Royals are in a good spot going into this series because I was talking to somebody who runs a minor league team the other day, and they're like, there's only two teams in the Central that are worthy. It's Detroit and it's Kansas City. And everybody else is kind of on the wayside. I'm not a fan of where Cleveland is right now. I don't think they're playing great baseball. I don't think they're a really good team right now. And so I think for the Royals to go in there and take 2 out of 3, that's a must from Cleveland, because what you have coming up on the next couple of days or next couple of weeks, I should say, of the schedule, go out there and take 2 out of 3 from Cleveland, win that game, keep them thinking, and kind of keep a losing team losing. And that's what the Royals have done so far. You know, they kept the losing team losing in Minnesota, keep a losing team losing in Cleveland, and let's see what happens. Because I think winning these games and kind of setting that tone early that you are the team in the American League Central, or you and Detroit are the team in the American League Central, and you can win some games against the Cleveland team, I think that's what you want to do. I think you want to go in there and worry about baseball, take care of business, and play a little bit of a mind game with them. Make them think they're going to get hit. Every batter for the next 3 days is thinking they're going to wear it, and when they least expect it, boom, knock them down.
Yeah, I just, I don't think Cleveland has to play that game because Cleveland's the big dog in the Central. So they're already having the Chiefs think, we need to take two out of three. We need to do this. And we know this.
Well, I think you think that for every series, regardless of who you're playing. You want to win series. That's what baseball's all about. You go in and say, all right, we want to win this series. You take each series for what it is.
But there's a level of confidence in those series. Like when you play the White Sox, you're like, we can sweep these guys in a minimum. We can take two out of three. We don't have to worry about it. Cleveland, it's like, we've got to play better. We've got to do this. We've got to, you know, we got to execute this way because of such and such. And we don't want to see this guy because he's a stud. We have to, you know, there's different things I think that you tinker with when you play teams like Cleveland. Plus, you're going to their turf. And Cleveland 6-6, the Royals 7-6. I think Cleveland has to be somebody that you worry about, not worry in like a worrisome way, like where you're like, oh no, here they come. But like, that's a team that you have to beat. That's a team that you have to make, you know, yourself better than. And I felt, at least in my opinion, that it was a little bullyish from Clase to throw pitches that he does, throw a pitch that he does not throw ever. And he threw it. He hit one of your best players in the face. And knowing that you couldn't retaliate, to me, it's a punk move. And I think one thing that a lot of people, you know, kind of hope and pray is that when a team really wakes up, it's from a walk-off home run or like a big three-run bomb in like the bottom of the eighth, and then you go win it in the ninth. But maybe sometimes retaliation can wake up a team. Because this is a team that needs to wake up offensively. Let's not hide behind that.
Right. Well, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, Josh is right. 5-9 in the order, they're not very interesting to watch.
And you could almost say 4-9. Vinny Pasquantino's hitting .171.
Yeah.
Like, so yep. I get it. Like, if we're going to sit here and complain about how Hunter Renfro can't do this and MJ Melendez can't do that, Vinny Pasquantino's not doing very well at the plate.
And I'm glad you brought that up because it's something that does need to be discussed. But because we like Vinny, we're not going to say that he's not doing what he needs to be doing, right?
And he's proven it, and he's still getting runs knocked in.
Right. I mean, he's still driving, duck snort here. Yeah. But however you get the run home, I mean.
He's beneficial to the fact that Witt and India are hitting in front of him.
Yeah, but eventually, like, 171's not going to cut it, right? And so while MJ is wearing all of this and Renfro is wearing all of this, Vinny Pasquantino needs to hit better than 171, right? You can't have that type of hitter be your number three guy, be your number four guy, be your first baseman in that lineup. You expect production from the corners in your lineup. But as we look at the batting average of 171 for Vinny Pasquantino, he still does come through in those key moments. I don't know if there's a clutch stat that you can look at, you know, like they have the runners in scoring position and two out stat, batting average and things like that. You look at that, like, you can't teach clutch, right? You can't coach clutch. Right. Vinny Pasquantino does have that knack. And he still, to me, you know, he still feels like when he comes to the plate in a clutch situation, I still believe that he is going to come through and he is going to get hits, but he's got to do better in more than just those clutch situations, because in the non-clutch situations, maybe you can get on base and then it becomes a clutch situation for somebody else. And so you're right about that. I mean, like the MJ Hunter Renfro thing, I can't handle having that conversation anymore because we know what they are.
Yeah.
And if Vinny Pasquantino doesn't step up and he doesn't start producing better, then the entire lineup is going to suffer. So those are the guys that need to produce. And Bobby, you know, yesterday had another big day. His batting average is back up there. Nobody had any worries about him and whatnot. But no. The rest of that lineup, man, like, it's time to step it up, man. It's time to come play baseball now.
And and maybe I'm being a little, you know, rough on Vinny. 178, not 171.
Okay.
My bad. But I mean, you look at where these teams are. And again, I think average is kind of skewed these days, but Salvador Perez is hitting 200. Vinny Pasquantino's hitting 178. Jonathan India's hitting 234.
Oh, he's up to, okay, so I'm 210 yesterday, yeah. So one hit made a big difference in the average. I mean, that's kind of where we are with the average.
Michael Garcia's kind of come down to earth, yeah. Now hitting 279. But Vinny does have 10 RBIs. He's far and away your leader. But how much of that is because of who's on base in front of him? Now, again, talking out of both sides of my mouth, you got to get him in somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go look at the team stats of the Royals, they're tied for 22nd in the MLB in runs per game at 3.5. You take out the 11-run game against the Brewers.
That's a run per game less than where they were at this time last year.
You take out the 11-run game, it's 2.4.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not great.
No, it's not.
They're 20th in hits. They're 20th in average. On base percentage, they're 28th, right? There's 30 MLB clubs, right? Mm-hmm. Or 30 MLB clubs.
Mm-hmm.
They're 27th in
slug.
Should
be 28.
They're 25th in OPS. They're 29th in home runs. Obviously, playing at Kauffman Stadium affects that a lot.
Things, yeah.
But where they always are successful and where they've continued to be successful, which is what Vern always tells us, is that it's pitching, speed, and defense.
Mm-hmm.
And they're elite in those categories. But you've got to be better than bottom five offensively. Because, yeah, it's nice if any pass routine has 10 RBIs. But when we talk about when you're getting ready to play Cleveland, New York, and Detroit, 3.5 runs ain't going to cut it.
No, it's not. Especially now, against Detroit. I mean, like that's the one you got to look at. Like, Detroit's the one. That's the team that you're going to be challenging. But, you know, through all of those offensive, you know, woes, if you will, that the Royals are currently experiencing right now, the fact that they're still 7-6 shows you how good their pitching is.
Right.
And I think I said this on the air when I came back from spring training. I said, I think the feeling around the Royals is they know they're not going to score a lot of runs this year. Like, Santander was their guy that they wanted to go out and get this offseason, right, for a bat. They weren't able to do that. They realized they couldn't go out there and get the bat, so they went out and they approached it from a pitching standpoint, and they went out and got, you know, the guy yesterday, Stevez, yeah, and put him back in the bullpen because they said, all right, we're not going to be able to acquire a bat at this time, so what are we going to do? All right, we're going to try to lock down the competition and hold them to as few runs as possible because we know we're going to be offensively challenged this year. And that's kind of what they're doing. Like, they're kind of following that blueprint that we had for them. And that's why when you look at this team and we talk about moves that need to be made, I mean, other than Bobby Witt and Salvador Perez, everybody's expendable on this ball club right now. Everybody's expendable to make this team better. I'm talking offensive players. I'm not factoring in the pitchers at this point in time. But everybody's expendable on this team right now. Other than Bobby and Salvi, everybody is replaceable on this team. And they've got to find a way to get that offense going. I just don't know that they have the players right now to get that offense going. And that's why we talk about making trades from other organizations and watching some of these teams start to tank a little bit and who you can pluck off their rosters that are major league bats that can come and help you. Like, you mentioned Harrison Bader the other day. I like that guy a lot, man. He'd be a nice fit here in Kansas City.
Be a sixth team in like 6 years. But where they are opposite is on the side that where it makes sense. Like, we've talked about it. Vern hits it on the, like, it beats a dead horse with it. You look at team ERA, they're third in baseball.
That's right.
Okay. You look at WHIP, they're seventh in baseball. You look at homers allowed, ninth. Fielding percentage, fourth in fielding percentage. They play top five defense. They have a top five rotation.
Mm-hmm.
And stealing the base, 12th, 11th. That's Tolbert's a big part of that. Bobby Witt Jr. is a part of that. But almost top 10 in stolen bases. Top five in pitching rotation, top five in fielding percentage. So speed, defense, and pitching is still what's doing it. Only giving up 3.5 runs a game, only scoring 3.5 runs a game. But they're going to have to start hitting.
But they don't have any ties.
No. They're going to have to start driving in more runs because, yeah, you say beat up on the bad teams. That's nice. Minnesota can't hit either. Minnesota's worse than the Royals when it comes to being offensively challenged. Yep. But we talk about 5-9. It's, you know, basically been India and Bobby getting on. Sal's been irrelevant. Vinny Pasquantino, yeah, 10 RBIs is nice. You're knocking the guys in front of you, but then you're not getting on base. You're not knocking anybody else in. And if they don't get on base, then 3-9 has been a complete, utter disaster. So somebody's going to have to step up. Is that Drew Waters? I don't know.
No, I mean, we can't rely on that. I mean, guy's brought been up and down.
And he brought a little spark yesterday. Made a nice diving play in center field.
MJ, credit with him, too.
Made a nice diving play. But again, like, this is now, like, we talked about how this past, you know, I don't know, stretch of games was the first, like, you know, pop quiz. Like, we're out of the syllabus. This is now when, like, you know, it really becomes a grind.
Mm-hmm.
This is where, like, this semester really starts to take off because now it's like you can catastrophically fail in these next 10 games. No days off.
Right. 10-game road trip.
In a row.
Tough road trip. It's not an easy road trip. It's Cleveland. It's New York. It's Detroit. It's good teams, you know, that you're going to be facing. But I think that there's good news, bad news to all this. Like, the good news is the Royals went into the season with a plan. And everything that they kind of said and talked about and realized that was going to happen really is happening. Like, the pitching has been outstanding for this ball club. I mean, we can't talk enough about how good the pitching has been for the Royals this year. Thank God it's been where it is, because offensively, as we mentioned, they are offensively challenged. And that's why you have to develop and you have to, you know, bring these kids up, you know, through the system, and maybe Jack's the guy and he's the answer at some point in time. But at this point in time, some of these other guys that are making major league salaries have to go out there and produce. Like, in a perfect world, Vinny Pasquantino turns into Eric Hosmer. And what I mean by that is, guy gets on, Hosmer would always seemingly rope a double in the gap and end up on second base, and the guy ahead of him, whoever that was, would come around to score, and now you have a guy on base. Vinny Pasquantino is driving in the runs, but he's doing it by making outs, right? Like it's a sack fly. It's a ground out to the right side and the run comes home or something of that nature. I want more of the Eric Hosmer type of at-bats where he comes up and drives one into the gap and he becomes a guy standing on second base and then the guy behind him is able to do it. And you keep that line moving. That's how that offense was successful, you know, back in the day. They had some pretty good hitters in that lineup, but they kept the line moving. They kept moving forward. They kept changing second base out with a different player. And that's what they need to get. So the RBIs are nice, but the at-bats could be more productive, if that makes sense.
And to finish the conversation, I think what you do is you fire up your lineup with a little bit of retaliation. Pitch one. I like the way the text line thinks. Do it early, do it now, and have Lorenzen go out there and or have like Schreiber or somebody like that go out there and be an opener just to plunk a guy because you know the umpires are aware of the situation.
Yeah, sure.
They know what's going on.
Yeah.
If we're talking about it and we're passionate about it, you know the umpires like, hey guys, you remember what happened last time these guys plays? This guy got hit in the face, so let's just, you know, if they warn both bullpen or dugouts before the game, I'll be sick to my stomach. If they don't, I'm going to expect something's coming. Now, again, that would probably go against what Matt Cotrero is, which is a nice, laid-back, cool gent, but I'd like to see a little red ass come out. That's just me wanting a Christmas gift in April. That's all I have to say, and I think that might be something where it's like, all right, there we go. Let's get aggressive at the plate. Let's go knock these guys in the teeth with our baseball bats that have been asleep for the first 13 games of the season. It's Bob Fesco. It's Mac Morey. I'm Dusty Likens. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Coming up, Tiger to the Senior Tour. What dominance would be had because somebody had some encouraging words for the big cat. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Of course, we'll keep you updated with all the Masters updates that come along. There's no tee-off times coming at the tee box yet. But again, remember yesterday.
Nobody's teed off at this time already?
7:47.
It's almost 8 o'clock
I think
there.
It's like 7:48. Is it really?
We're like a minute behind. All right.
Yeah.
I was like, dang, it's already like almost 8 o'clock and nobody's teeing off down there? They should have been teeing off a long time ago.
By the way, Bryson DeChambeau was already on the tee box this morning or on the driving range 4 hours before his tee time. Nobody else is out there.
Why don't they do it like you know, charity golf tournament style where they just start everybody on different holes?
Oh, like shotgun start?
Yeah, shotgun start this thing. Why not do that? Do they ever do that in any golf tournaments?
Not unless it's like probably like Live.
Oh, do they do a shotgun start? That's kind of cool. It's something different.
They might. Yeah, there's
a
tee time.
Yeah.
There's like there was a tee time at 7:24 their time. So our time 6:24, 7:13. Okay, yeah. So yeah, they teed off. My bad. But nobody that like you really care about, I would say.
Well, that's not fair to their moms or wives. I mean.
I recognize Bubba Watson.
Oh, I know Bubba.
Who'll be teeing off at 7:13. That's right. The first name I recognize.
Hey, Bubba!
Yeah, 7:13. Yeah.
Bubba. I got to say, Bubba!
Bubba kind of sucks.
Can you be nicknamed Bubba if you're not from south of the Mason-Dixon line?
I think he is from Georgia.
Not shocked.
That's good.
Went to the University of Georgia, two-time Masters champion.
Yeah.
And smashed Waffle House after his first win.
Was that 2012 that he did that?
The shot out of the shot pine straws.
Awesome.
And they asked him, like, how'd you know to do that shot? He's like, well, I played golf here in college. I've been in that situation before. They're like, oh.
Okay, cool.
Crazy.
Great.
Yeah, mud ball.
Do they sell mulligans before these tournaments?
I just never know, like, what you're doing with this great event. Like, I don't know if you're, like, throwing it in my face about how, like, you just make fun of it or if it's just, like, you're genuinely asking.
Like, they should sell mulligans. I asked you yesterday, if they sold mulligans for $1 million a mulligan, how many golfers would buy mulligans at these tournaments?
I mean, the real answer is zero. But if they could, I think they'd buy one aside.
You think each golfer would plunk down $2 million a round for mulligans?
Well, I mean, they wouldn't pay. Their sponsors would pay.
Well, whoever would. Yeah. But you really think so?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of cash.
I mean,
man. Imagine
if Rory had a mulligan yesterday on one of those chips.
That's why he kind of came up.
He's probably sitting at 300.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah,
it's worth $1 million.
Is it worth $1 million? What's the purse for the Masters? $8-9 million, something like that?
I think it's a green jacket, not a purse.
Oh, you don't get anything for that?
No, I'm kidding. I can tell you what it is.
But I mean, I think, you know, sell a mulligan. Like, you want to make the game
really
more interesting, right? Like, that's what we're always trying to do. We're always trying to reinvent sports, right? We've reinvented baseball in a great way. People love it, right? They love the pitch clock. They love everything that's come in baseball, the ghost runner and extra innings. What if one of these tournaments did decide to start selling mulligans for like $1 million and all of it went to charity or whatever? They picked the charity And they did that. And then people are like, this is kind of cool. What if we do this in all of these tournaments where you can buy mulligans and all the money goes to charity? How many golfers would sign up and buy a mulligan in this thing, right?
$20 million purse.
$20 million. Ooh. So yeah, you give yourself $2 million a day times 4 days. That's $8 million. So you stand to be plus 12 if you cash in and win the entire, well, I guess that's the purse. That's not for the number one guy. But, I mean, that's a lot of money. I still think $1 million. But, I mean, to have one yesterday, if Rory had one yesterday, or if, you know, whoever had one, or,
yeah.
I mean, that'd be kind of cool. Something different for golf, right?
Cool.
It's okay. If we can reinvent baseball and the NFL and get rid of the tush push, we can change the rules of golf a little bit.
Yeah. Golf might have a different look here in a couple years, because Tiger Woods will be joining the senior tour before we know it. That's amazing to say out loud. Tiger Woods going to join the senior tour. I've tried to tell people for the last 2 years, it's time to let go of Tiger. It's not happening anymore. But maybe this is something that you'll enjoy, because he'll absolutely destroy the senior tour.
Oh yeah. It'll be like Kramer at Del Boca Vista beating people in ping pong, man. Like that. That's what ultimately that's going to be. All the old dudes are going to be like, come on, man, it's not fair. Tiger's showing up to this thing. None of us stand a chance, you know? He walks in and they look at him like, oh, God, 50-year-old Tiger going out there and crushing 70-year-old dudes. The only player that stands a chance, probably Gary Player, right? Because he's not eating at Arby's. And so he's going out there. He could go, you know, toe for toe with Tiger Woods and something like that. But that's what I love to see. I love to see that dominance in sports, and I'll be watching the senior PGA tour because I'm addicted. I can't quit Tiger Woods. And so if he's playing in a tournament and he's going to go out there and wreck old guys and be like Kramer down there beating the snot out of people, let's go, man. I'm all for that. I think it's going to be great to watch him play on that tour.
Won't watch the Masters, but we'll watch the senior tour of old guys hitting yellow balls.
That's right. Tiger Woods. Yeah. You got to have a draw. You got to have a pull. You've got to have something to get me to the table. Tiger Woods gets you to the table. I think I speak for a lot of people. If Tiger's playing in something, you're watching.
I wish so badly for just once in my life, you would take me for granted and just watch Bryson DeChambeau today. That's all I have to add
on today.
Yeah, you sure do.
I do. I got a lunch. I got the gym. I got to pick up my kids. We got cheerleading tryouts. Got a happy hour. I got a lot going on today.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lot.
It is. I got a lot going on.
Yeah, it all happens in the same. Like, it's all in the same.
Well,
like,
I'll leave here at 10 o'clock. I'll go to the J. I'll leave the J. I'll go to lunch. I'll leave lunch. I'll go pick up my kid. I'll go to my happy hour. We'll take our kids to, you know, cheerleading tryouts. Like, I'm not going to be sitting around watching golf today. It's just not my thing.
Well, again, I'm not telling you to watch golf. I'm telling you to watch Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah.
So, like, even if you want to watch it on your phone or on Twitter and pay attention to it, if you want something that will draw you, because that's the problem that a lot of people have with sports like this, is that they're like, well, Tiger's on it, I'm out. It's like, well, yeah, Michael Jordan's not in the NBA. That doesn't mean you have to be out. One day when Patrick Mahomes isn't the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, it doesn't mean the Chiefs can't be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you watch how, you know, as you make fun of this tournament, how it's, you know, old heads and snobs and these Southerners that, you know, this is the game, Bryson DeChambeau is almost against, he's almost the reverse of that. Like, he was a guy that nobody rooted for, that nobody liked, myself included, that completely revamped himself by using YouTube and fun stuff to become relevant. And now he's literally tied for second for the lead at the Masters. And he's going to tee off early, so it'll be done before, you know, PM tonight. And he's a guy that will engage it differently. Like, Scottie Scheffler, dominant, great golfer. But he'll hit a great shot and just, thank you. Thank you. Bryson, a great shot. He'll look at the crowd. He'll make contact. He'll smile big. If you want something that I can sell you on, if I'm being a car salesman for the Masters or golf, Bryson DeChambeau is that fun, different thing that is golf. Justin Rose is not that guy. Corey Connors is not that guy. Will Zalatoris is not that guy. Max Homa is definitely not that guy. But Bryson DeChambeau can be that guy. And if he's at the lead by the end of on Friday and we go into moving day and he's a focus point, oh, baby, you're going to have some people talking about Bryson DeChambeau. And I know that, hey, you're glazing him up, but I'm trying to give you a selling point of what, like, golf can be fun with. And he's the one guy that we've got.
Okay.
And something come to an end. And it was an emotional night last night for some of us that enjoy the guys of TNT.
For the fans out there who they think NBA, and they think NBA on TNT. That's why it hurts tonight to know that's gone after this next playoff run. And that's the business of basketball, I guess. But I will say this. No time for bitterness. It is time for appreciation. It's time for gratitude. and it has been my pleasure to be one of your co-workers, one of your teammates, and a part of this family. Love you.
I mean, if that doesn't tug on every angle of your heartstrings.
Yeah, it was great.
I mean, dude.
He's so good.
Yeah. I watched that three times. Every time I feel like there's allergies in room.
I like what he said, too. He says, we're TNT, we're an entertainment network that has sports.
Yeah.
And that's the way we think. You know, we're an entertaining show that kind of focuses on sports. And that's where the world is. And that was Ted Turner's credo back in the day, right? Like, that was 1989 when he said that to these guys. He goes, we're an entertainment network that has sports. And so sports is part of entertainment. And that was the one that kind of hit me. And then watching that, it reminded me back in the day when I was a kid, when CBS lost the NFL. And all of those guys that you grew up watching, Madden and Summerall and all these, you didn't know what was going to happen. CBS lost the NFL. It's 1993, and they're getting ready to go to this new network called Fox that had a bad cartoon called The Simpsons and Tracy Ullman. And you're like, I don't know if this is going to work. And then Fox hired literally everybody from CBS, producers, directors, announcers, all the people that made it work on CBS that were so good. They went over to Fox, and here we sit, you know, 30 years later, and we haven't missed a beat with the NFL. In fact, Fox made it better. And so while today stinks for all of those folks, they're all going to go on to Amazon or wherever the next case may be, and we'll forget about the TNT side of things, you know, even though you get nostalgia, and it will be even bigger and better than what it has been on TNT, because that's what these new networks are going to do, these streaming services are going to do. It's going to be bigger and better. It won't be the same. Nothing ever is. We move on, and you feel bad for a lot of those folks that worked all those years in that situation, but I think it's going to be better going forward for the NBA. That's why they're making that change, and we'll see. And maybe it won't. I could be totally wrong about that, but the only other thing that I really have to compare it to is when CBS lost the NFL and everybody went to Fox and we didn't miss a beat and a robot showed up on the first game of the season and everybody had a good time.
Do you think it can be better if it is different?
Of course, yeah. Just because it's different doesn't mean it's not better or it's worse. I mean, I think I'll go back to the baseball argument. Baseball's different now, and it's better. It's okay. Better. Yeah, yeah. I think it can be. I mean, Charles and Shaq and all those guys are still going to be there, right? Like, you're still going to have those guys there in some form. I don't know how we're going to see, you know, ultimately, you know, see it. But as long as those guys are part of it, yeah, I think it can be there, because those are the talented guys that are on the set facing you that we all watch and we all, you know, kind of resonate with, like, enjoy. You know, they're better than the game. We've said that for years. I'd rather watch the pregame show than the game, because that's how entertaining those guys are, and I think they resonate for a lot of people. So yeah, it definitely can be better. It'll be different, obviously, but it can be better.
Ernie's an icon. That's my sports idol. I love him.
He's
so
one of the
man.
Nicest guys too.
Josh, he's like, incredible.
He just is. Like, you call Ernie to come on the show or whatever. He wants to talk to you on the phone and have a nice conversation. It's like, I don't want to waste your time, you know, but he's just a genuinely nice human being. And I know sometimes you peel that curtain back and you meet your stars and your heroes and you're like, oh, that guy sucks, man. And then you meet Ernie Johnson and you're like, okay, this guy's unbelievably awesome. Yeah.
Max sport icon is Ernie Johnson. Mine's Josh Vernier, and he said something that got my bones rattling yesterday. We'll play it next on the other side on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry.
live, laugh, lovers. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
96.5 The Fan.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry blend and orange hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.